well, today is the Daytona 500 and all that kind of stuff. To let you, know how significant that is, who won the first Daytona 500 at the track there in Lee Petty, 1959. Who won last year's race? Yeah, I didn't think so. Trevor Bayne did. This is for Elsie. What manufacturer has the most wins in NASCAR? Chevy, yes. 632. Ford has got 592. That's a shame, isn't it? Suppose someone showed up at Daytona with a four-cylinder Nash Rambler. Those had about 90 horsepower. He got out in his white coveralls. He had wingtip shoes on and a football helmet. You think he's going to win today? No. The Daytona 500 is called the greatest American race, NASCAR's biggest, richest, most prestigious event. The race expects to attract some 230,000 people there in the stands today. 17 million people watching on television. Last year, the purse for the race was $18.7 million. That's a pretty good bit of money, isn't it? Trevor Bayne wanted $1.5 million. He would have won more if he'd had, but he didn't. Last place. That's why it's so important to get in the race. Last place. You don't fire your car up. Boom, boom. Save the gas. Pull it off. And you get $500,000. Yeah. Well, the writer of Hebrews is talking about an even bigger race. The greatest prize is much more important. It's the race of life. The writer of Hebrews tells us down there that God, who in sundried times, diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. So we should take and pay earnest heed in what God is saying to us in his word. Begins there in chapter 12 by saying, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. The writer of Hebrews imagines a great stadium, and this great stadium is just filled to capacity with spectators. It's the stadium of life. These spectators, this so great a cloud of witnesses, these fans are those who have already gone before, those who have served the Lord, who have dedicated their hearts and mind to Christ. They've went on before us, and they're seated in that great grandstand. Chapter 11, if you had any doubts of that, chapter 11 tells us about who some of these folks are. Talks about Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, Rahab the harlot, Gideon, Samson, David, all these people have gone on ahead. Listen, that's chapter 11 of Hebrews, but you can fill in some names who've gone on ahead as well. They're there too. They've taken their place, our loved ones. Now, these fans, they're not couch potatoes. They're not armchair quarterbacks. No, these folks are the ones who have engaged spiritually. Sometimes they're battle-scarred veterans, but they're all born-again believers. They've run the race. They've taken their place. They're victorious in life. Well, what are they doing? You know, I think they're urging us on. I think just like those fans that will be there today for that race, there will be those who are rooting for Dale Earnhardt Jr. There will be those who are rooting for Tony Stewart, whoever it is. They have their fan. They're rooting for this. Listen, those folks that are seated in the great grandstands of life are rooting us on. They're saying, go, 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 go. Clear that hurdle. Jump over that obstacle. Don't be tempted by that temptation. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Study the Word. Study the Word. Witness, teach, serve, share. Do these things. Listen, time's running short for us on this side. And they're saying, Go, 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 go. How do we do those things? By faith. The scripture says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Whatsoever comes our way, whether it be sickness, whether it be unemployment, whether it be brokenness, you name it, they're still urging us to run. They're telling us just a little while. Don't give up now. You've come too far. You've made the sacrifice. You've dedicated your life. The commitment is there. Go, 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 go. You're almost there. Keep going. You know, you've probably heard about the pastor, the Christian pastor, who's been arrested in Iran. He has a wife. You've probably seen that picture. And two children. He was arrested in Iran. Why was he arrested? Does anybody know? Was he a thief? Was he some kind of a murderer? Did he defraud somebody? Why was he? Because he was a Christian. That's why he was arrested. He was arrested because he is engaged in his faith. And so they have arrested him because, you see, they're scared to death of that kind of guy who will stand for truth, who will stand for the word. You know, the news people said that this crime is punishable by death. And the news people have said that they've actually offered him two times. One, just recant. Convert to Islam. Again. And we'll let you go. You know what? You know what? Behind that is this. Just say what we want you to say publicly, and we'll let you go. And listen, I think they're, and we'll let you out of the country. We don't want you here, no way. Just deny Christ, and we'll let you live. And what has he said? No. 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 That's amazing, isn't it? That's the way that it should be. Listen, this guy is not lukewarm, is he? He's hot for the Lord. Can you imagine when that guy stands up and they ask him these silly, foolish questions? What heaven's grandstands is saying. They're not saying, oh, be smart. Just say yes. You don't mean yes. Just let them let you go. When you get on the other side of the fence, when you get on the other side of the wall, when you get to freedom, you can just say, oh, that was a lie. They're not saying that at all, I don't believe. You know what they're saying? That guy is a guy. Like I wanted to be. That guy is a guy like you've known people like that. Who have been courageous and firm and honorable and have honored Jesus to the very end of the way. Listen, they may not be clapping here, but they're clapping there. They're giving that a standing ovation. Paul says to us, he says, listen, what's wrong with you folks? You need to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, every sin that besets us. You know, I thought about this morning to bring a suitcase, bring a block, bring some weights, and put all that stuff on. And I thought about, you know, not me. Somebody else. But I couldn't think of anybody that I could, you know, I thought, well, Tom's a pretty healthy young man. You know, maybe I could load him up and ask him to run around the church a couple times and come back in. You know what he probably would have said? What's wrong with you? He would have said, don't load me up with all this stuff. I'll run around the church, but I'm not going to carry any more than I have to carry. It's just common sense, isn't it? Why do we want to keep dragging this stuff with us? The Lord says, you know, that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to carry it. But you know what we do? We confess it. We lay it down. We stand up. And then we say, all right, let's go. And then we go over there and pick it up and take it with us again. Paul says in Galatians, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? God is telling us in so many simple and straightforward terms. Listen, the race of life you're going to run. Oh, let me just back up and say one more thing. Listen, you didn't ask to be born into this world, did you? You're just here. You didn't ask to be born of the parents that you were born of. You didn't ask to be born of the state you were born of or what country you're born of or in this country. You didn't ask any of those kind of things. But listen, you do have one huge, momentous choice. You can choose whose side you're on. You can choose the Lord. You can choose Jesus. Now, that's the narrow way, isn't it? That's the way that's going to be a little bit harder. The devil's got a big, big open track over here. He's got all kinds of marvelous flashing lights over there saying, come this way. This is a lot easier. And there are lots of folks going over that way. You know why? They don't have to make a turn. They're already going that way. They don't have to turn. They don't have to repent. They don't have to agree with God and make that sharp turn to Christ. They're already going that way. All they have to do is just keep following the track. Have you ever done that? Have you ever went someplace one time? I did this one time. Went to an unfamiliar area, and I was trying to do something, there was this huge crowd. And there were four lines. And so I came, pulled up, saw this business. I thought, oh, my goodness, look at all this huge line. I'm going to have to get in line. I got in line, waited, went up, got in the building, got there closer. No matter, the line started narrowing down. I began to see a sign that said something about Social Security. I thought, that's not what I'm wanting to do. I'm only 24 years old. I don't want Social Security. Isn't this the line to get their driver's license renewed? The people around me, no, what's wrong with you, bud? That's two blocks over. I just got in the line. Just started following everybody. There was a whole group of those folks there. Well, when I went over to the driver's license place, there was a line over there too, but it wasn't four deep. We just do that. Jesus says, take that turn, ask some direction, follow me. Paul was saying to those folks, he said, man, you were doing so well. What happened? How'd you get sidetracked? A lot of folks get sidetracked, don't they? Sometimes folks get sidetracked because somebody at church, they're coming to church. And this, you know, mad is not the right word, but I've heard these things so many times. That it's ridiculous. All right, here's somebody. They come to church. They got their Bible in their arm. They're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Bones on his feet is the sound, no sweeter sound. They're all doing fine. They come in. Gee, what's wrong with him? He didn't say that. He didn't say hi. Or maybe somebody says something to you like, that pink shirt and that chartreuse tie don't go together. You know, Rick Williams. Remember Rick Williams? Remember Rick? Years ago. I came in. Hi, Rick. How you doing? You know, fine, brother. Da, da, da. You know, I'm going to sing. Day, good, good, good. He said, who dresses you? I said, what? He said, don't you have any sense of, what did he call it? Yeah. I said, what do you mean? He says, you got this color, and that color, all at the same time. I thought, well, the jack was clean, the shirt was clean, the pants were clean. And so, you know, I could have said, what's wrong with you? Well, that's a very ill-considered thing to say. This is the best I got. I thought I was looking pretty sharp today. Matter of fact, what kind of clothes horse are you? I could have said that, couldn't I? People come. Somebody says something, or somebody doesn't say something. Somebody doesn't shake hands. Somebody looks at them the wrong way. Somebody walks by. You know, they got 15 kids with them, and the kids are running wild and trying, but they didn't say hi. Wonder why? And then, 15 years later, go to the house. Hey, Mo, what's going on, man? Talk to the guy a little bit, stand on the stoop. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Believe in Jesus. Believe his word's true. I believe his word's true. You love the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord. Where do you go to church at? Well, I used to go to Calvary Baptist Church years and years and years ago. And somebody told me my shirt and pants didn't match. How long ago was that? Well, that was about 15 years ago. You mean to tell me that your commitment to Christ, who is Lord of all, who spoke the world into existence, who died for you and rose again the third day, is predicated on what somebody says about your shirt? That's not the faith I understand the Bible's talking about. If that were true, I couldn't be here. How many times have I done something so silly? Remember that time when I think it was around Easter, I lifted up my arm and saw I had all those things on, my wife had bought me a new suit jacket and had all those tags still on the thing. Mini Pearl. Do you remember that? I remember that. I remember standing right here. The night before Christmas, at that Christmas Eve candlelight service, doing that stuff, and I looked down, and I had two different kinds of shoes on. You know, I really kind of felt silly. I really did. And the most amazing thing was, they were both comfortable. If I hadn't looked down, I wouldn't have known it. Now somebody probably, you know, you're more astute. Somebody was probably thinking to himself, that guy's got on two different kinds of shoes. Doesn't he know that? He got on those Oxford looking color one, and he got a black one on. Well, hey, what? Guess what? It didn't make any difference. It didn't make any difference. Time didn't stand still. The Lord didn't hiccup or any of that kind of stuff. How many times that happens? I've seen that happen over and over and over again. Somebody tells me something about something that happened to them long years ago. Their commitment. Do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. But I just can't stand people. I don't know where you're going to go. You can not come to church now, okay, with a simple people of God in the house of God. You can do that. Where are you going to stand in heaven? I don't think there's going to be a place reserved for you. There's the old cantankerous guy right over. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. You'll offend him. That won't work. Where's our commitment? That's what I'm saying. Where's our commitment? Is it to Jesus or something else? I think sometimes, obviously, it must be something else. Or we wouldn't be so easily turned in the wrong direction. Hardship sometimes. Things begin to happen. Faithfulness begins to be attacked. You know, the devil uses all that. You know that. Sometimes, you know what? You just get tired. I don't know. Jack has got more wisdom than me, but he's cautioned me on this in the sense that time is flying by. I said something to Jack one time about, I got up this morning and I was so sore and I couldn't hardly move. And he said, just this morning? I don't feel good today. No, I don't have the flu. And I don't have, you know, the swine flu or something like that. I don't have tuberculosis or anything like that. But man, I've just been busy all week long. I bet you in my housing area, most folks are going to stay home today. Jesus is loving and considerate and kind. His grace is infinite. I just stay cover up. It's not going to work for us if we're trying to please the Lord. If we're trying to please other people, all and maybe every one of those things will be satisfactory excuses. What should we do? Hebrews chapter 2 says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking. I understand that little Greek word means to fix your attention on. Focus on. Most of the time, one of our biggest problems is that we're not focused. We're just whatever comes into the radar, good, bad, or different. We're just interacting with all that. We don't have to. We had an old mule on my grandfather's farm. They put those bridle on and he had those little things that went over his eyes. And I asked my grandfather, what's that about? He told me, that's to keep Jack focused. If he didn't have those things, he'd see all that peripheral stuff. He'd get real nervous. He wouldn't do his best. So put those blinkers on him. Keep him focused. We need to be focused. When trouble happens, when adversity comes, when temptations come, when all kinds of obstacles come our way, the time is to become more focused, not less. To grab the reins a little tighter, not get upset by these peripheral things. If we start focusing our attention on Jesus, the things of the world will quickly fall away. And we'll see why we're doing it, what the sacrifice is and what it means, and be able to do it. Well, Jesus came. He said, the Bible says he set his face like flint. He was unmoved, uncompromising. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. He never turned to the left. He never turned to the right. He never wavered. He went all the way to the cross for you and for me, that we might be called the sons of God. When Satan starts whispering in your ear, you're no good, you're defeated, Don't listen to that. You're the sons of God. You're the royal ambassadors for Christ. You're the salt. You're the light of the world. Listen, you didn't get a choice to be thrown into this race. Those guys that are down in Daytona today, they wanted to be there. Matter of fact, there's guys that went, put their stuff back on the trailers and all that kind of stuff, who wanted to be in that race. They're not going to be in it. You didn't get that choice, but you do have the other choice. How are you going to run the race? It's up to you. Listen, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Nothing is impossible for God. If God says, go this way, then go that way. And you can do all that God would have you to do. Finish the race. They're standing there. You know, one of the great heartaches of my life is knowing that. I don't know how the Lord does that. Because there are no tears of sadness in heaven. There may be tears of joy, but there's no tears of sadness. And so I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what they think about when they're watching me in that great heavenly anthem. Grandstands are just full. My mom's up there. My dad's up there. My grandma's up there. My grandpa's up there. Bob Wolfer's up there. Jim Harp's up there. All these people I know are up there. And they must have great blackouts in my life. They must be watching something and boom, blacked out. Because that's when I was detracted. That's when I wasn't walking the walk. That's when I was talking the talk, but I wasn't doing what Jesus asked me to do. I wonder how much blackout the Lord has to provide. Father God, you tell us that we can. And you enable us. We haven't had a choice in this matter about being here, being in this place, or in this time. But we do have a choice as to how we follow you. Help us to follow you wholeheartedly, eagerly, unashamedly, being lights in the darkness, salt to the world, uplifting Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray.